welcome, everybody. Hi. Good morning. Here we go. That's the third one you guys were forced to do today. You notice that? Terry got one, Brenda got one, and I get one. But welcome, everybody listening online as well. I have I'm excited about the message I have today to talk about. And so really, I'm just going to jump into it. I don't do really well at the opening part of it all, so I'm just going to go through my weakness here. All right. So no matter where we're at, we have to understand, too, even in your life, the people you come across day to day, it's I'll give you a piece of advice. Understand that they're all in a different place in their journey. If we all assume that everybody's in the same place we are with all the different areas, we're going to never have any friends. We're going to end up being judgmental. You know what I realized lately? Comparing yourself to other people is always a bad idea. Come on, really. Because if you're lesser than me, I feel proud, right? If you're greater than me, I feel defeated. Keep your eyes on your own paper. I always say it, but I really got that this week because I was feeling bad about myself. And then I thought about someone who was worse and I was like, I feel better. And I was like, well, that's not right. Nothing changed in my behavior. But then I looked at someone who had it more together, the area I was struggling in. You know what I'm trying to say? And I'm like, wait a minute. I shouldn't do that at all. Either way, it should be between me and God, right? And listen to my own conscience, not the condemnation that comes from the voices in your head. Hey, aren't you the guy that used to? Hey, maybe you should. Not that. The real deal. And so we're going to talk today. That was good because actually that has to do with today, Bill. We're going to talk about the real Jesus, not churchy Jesus, not cult Jesus, Mormons and all those guys. Oh my gosh, he's coming in hot today. You're right, I am. We're going to talk about Bible Jesus as he presents himself, not churchy Jesus. And when he says, if you want to come to the kingdom of God, he actually gives us a qualifier for coming to the kingdom of God. So we all have different ideas. Now here's the thing. Here's what I've been learning this week. Timothy Keller, Presbyterian Church in New York City. You ever get a chance to listen to him? He was talking about this. And this is just good life advice, young people. All people, but young people do. We all see the world through the bias that we choose to cling to. Okay? So, let's get political. Let's do that. Let's get political today. I saw some family members of mine who decided to completely bash one of our elected officials. Use your imagination. And call him or her this, the same ones that all these networks call this, him or her, this. Here's my thing. I'm not going to say right or wrong. I'm going to say this. If you take something and you use it as the frame through which you see things, that's all you're going to see. Do you see what I'm trying to say? If I think that, okay, I'm going to pick on Bill, but how am I going to do this? If I think that Bill hates the color yellow, are you serious? You gotta be joking, because that's so rando. I just made that up out of nowhere, but Holy Spirit's working, I guess. I'm gonna look at him, watch him, and I'm gonna see the way he reacts negatively toward that color yellow. And boy, that Bill's a yellow hater. See how he wouldn't go near those drums because they're kind of yellow? Everything he does gets framed through this truth that I've decided to convince myself of and focus on, right? That's gonna be the foundation of our message today. Oh, by the way, that's your life, too. That's your life, honestly. Really. I got a motorcycle, and now I always notice motorcycles, right? And we're all, like, friendly to each other. Now I'm in the brotherhood. We all do the magic wave. I'm framing it through the lens of I'm a motorcycle rider now, right? It's true. I even see street signs differently, because let me tell you something, and he'll attest. When they tell you go this faster on a curve, to us, that's truth. That's gospel to us. We get down to 25. In a truck, 40. Anyway. So we all see things through our own biases. But here's the thing. If we do that to Heavenly Father and the kingdom of God, you're going to end up with error. And sometimes that error can lead you in really dark places. It can lead you to a place of condemnation. It can lead you to a place of judgment. So let's look at the Lord Jesus himself. He says this. People were bringing babies to Jesus to have him touched. Now stop for a second. Let's bring humanity back into this. The man is walking around with Chill Arena-sized crowds, okay? And he's doing amazing stuff. And people are going, yo, did you? He walked on water. I heard he spoke to a volcano and it blew up. Because you know it's not always true, the things people say. I heard him and Batman are teaming up soon. And anyway, that's just me. But this is what's going on, this rabble of people. And he's a rabbi, you guys. Rabboni in Aramaic. It's teacher. It's most esteemed teacher, right? And some people are like, how many moms or dads out there know, like, I don't care. Bless my kid. move. Here, you're something special. Touch this kid. So is he, right? Absolutely. But what happens? The disciples, the followers say, hey, rebuke is a stern. No, knock it off. Get him out of there. these kids. But Jesus says, oh, kids, come here, come here. And he says, let. He does not ask. Go through the Gospels and see where Jesus asks anyone to do anything. Michael, you're not going to find it. He never says, would you please? Or could you? Do you know that? Why? Anybody know? Because you are my king. Kings give decrees, not questions. Am I right? Yeah. And they knew it, the crowd. There was an air of deity. Anybody ever been in the room with a celebrity? They have gravity. There you go. They're right? Everybody's looking at me like, what's up? You could just kind of feel it. You all get directed toward it. Well, imagine if Creator God was walking around. He had gravity. And so the little kids get sucked in, and they want to be touched by Jesus, as any parent would want. And but the disciples say, religion says no. Don't, no, no, no. And Jesus, the king, says, let the children come to me. And do not, again, kings don't ask, do not hinder them. For, you ready for a teaching moment? Never misses a teaching moment. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Stop. We come from a democracy. Go listen to Dr. Miles Monroe. He preaches out of the Caribbean. He was born in a kingdom. England had dominion over the Caribbean. They were a, come on, AJ. Colony, yes. Okay. So they had to submit to. And then he moved somewhere else. And I would pick on my wife. She probably doesn't remember. But moved somewhere else where three times a day they had to stop what they were doing and give homage to their king. When they left, yeah, this is the king was on their money. This is like, there are still these places today, people. Use Google, okay? There are still kingdoms today. But listen. What he understood is a citizen of the kingdom had certain things they always had to do, okay? Restrictions and all that. But Bruce, they also had privileges that only citizens of that kingdom had. Do you understand? So listen to me. Listen, this is big. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. If you want to be, Mike, a citizen in this kingdom, in this new country, a citizen here, the kingdom belongs to such as these. Next. So you want to be adopted into this kingdom? You want to move into this place, Mike? Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So listen, if you want to move, you and your family, out of the way the world does things, this system here, and if you want to actually become a citizen in this kingdom, your passport, in order to get your passport to travel freely, you got to do it as a child. No, seriously, there will be a test. Just like ICE, just citizenship there. In order for you to come into this new way of doing things, you got to come as a child. That's what Jesus says. He does not say it is a good idea, Marie. He does not say, one way. No, guys, he says, you got to come as a child. So, do you think maybe we should explore what this means? Probably should, shouldn't we? Isn't this awesome, though? It's really cool. I've heard a couple different preachers who were born in kingdoms, and the way they live is so, he understands this so much better. It's true. They understand kingdom living so much better, an adoption process. But anyway, so, if you want to become part of what God is doing on earth, be adopted into his family, you got to come as a child. But what does it mean? Now, it has different meaning for all of us. For those of us who are just considering following Christ Jesus, that means one thing. For those of us who've been living it for 30 years, it's another. But in my opinion, it's more than just come to God as a child. It's actually a state of existing with life leaned against him as a child. So here's the thing about babies, ready? And I'll be nice today because sometimes I pick on babies, you know I do, and children. They're little monsters. But babies are born helpless, essentially blind, powerless, in need of absolutely everything to make them function, correct? You even have to give them a name, an identity. They don't come with one, understand? They're in need of complete protection. They're in complete and desperate need of salvation. In other words, every day you save them by giving them food and water and you catch them and you don't let them do the stupid things kids want to do. Every day you save them or they receive the opposite of life, right? If someone doesn't intervene when a baby's born, they immediately will leave this earth again, right? They will pass away. So I think that the helpless nature of a small child is what we should be thinking about when we read these verses in Luke. Some people will say, come to God like a child, pure and wonderful. I love my kids, but I wouldn't say pure or wonderful for either one of them. I would say reckless little monsters, right? Needy little rule breakers. Needy little, well, I mean, we're all born with our sinful nature. What did I say before? So you guys understand this. Adam and Eve were face to face with God. There was no veil between. So everybody picture this. God was right there among them. God is described as lightning. He's described as fire. He's described as wind. But one way or another, there was no veil between the spiritual and the physical. The eyes that we boast with could see the spiritual. And we said, I see how you say I should do things, God, but I want to run my own life. So butt out. And we turned and took something that we couldn't handle at the time. We turned away from God, right? So we're all born, and I just came up with this, and I know you guys heard it a couple weeks ago. I don't care. I think it's dynamite. We're all born facing away from God, naturally. That's what I'm saying. Babies are not good necessarily. They're born facing this way, selfish, self-centered, right? You have to teach them, and then at some point, John, they're going to come up with the decision to return to God through what Christ has done. Does that make sense? I think that's wildly powerful. And when we return to God, Jesus is saying, you got to come like a little child in desperate need, not on your own merit, not on what you've done, what you bring to the table, your opinions, your thoughts, your ideas, or your biases, just with open arms saying, Abba, Father. You know, another thing babies do, that's my whole message, I can't. The helpless nature of a child. I don't think it's come pure, come when you got things figured out, come when you got it all together. That's not what he's saying. I don't believe that's what he's saying at all, because I wouldn't say those words describe little children, do they? We are as helpless as children. And honestly, I think we need to accept that if we're going to find a way out of life's dark realities. We need to receive the kingdom of God like a child. But how? I think honestly what we do, guys, and I'll speed it up a little bit because I really got to get to my last point today. I think we allow ourselves to feel the weight of our desperation. Bruce does prison ministry. And I've heard enough stories to know what prison ministry is like, because I've done enough time in that office where there's a moment, Bruce, and you can nod or shake your head if you agree with me. There's a moment in people's lives, and when we get to be a part of it, it's fantastic. But there's a moment when people just go, I'm done. I'm done running from God. I'm done trying it on my own. I'm done burning every bridge behind me. I need you. Oh, I need you. And they fall down metaphorically and just go, right? There's that moment. And that's exactly what he's saying. How do we get there? How do we come to the kingdom of God as a child? Number one, we feel the weight of the fact that we can't do it. And if you can't get there today, listening online even, ready? Close your eyes and picture what happens when you leave your body. What's the first thing that's going to happen? We know. I know. Actually, I can picture it because the Bible's told me. But if you don't have full control in that thought, then maybe you need help. Does that make sense, guys? If you don't know what happens when you die, go to someone who does. Jesus says, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. You can read about that and what I taught my people. Right? Am I right? So you feel the weight of the fact that you don't have it all figured out. That's what's great about children. What is frustrating about children sometimes is when they think they do have it all figured out. Right, babe? When they think they know a better way. That it's not going to work. Let daddy do things. Because here's the thing. Children usually come to their parent open-handed, filled with hope, trusting their parent. And the same thing with us. We can trust that the God of the universe is going to do the same things to sustain us. And that's where religion and relationship with Jesus have very little in common. This is not religion, John, at all. Religion is always man's attempt to earn God, to reach out to God. And that's why you'll get people knocking on your door, because people told them, if you want God to love you, go tell a bunch of people about it. Does anyone understand what I'm saying? If you want God to love you, knock this off. Don't drink caffeine. I've had them say that. Your attempt to earn God will always fall short because it's about your efforts. Do we understand? That is big. Faith, what he's saying right here is the children are not the object of focus. It's about the Father. Faith in relationship is about God's attempt to reach to us. Right, Marty? That if you ever put your hands up and say, Dad, he says, yeah, come here. I've told you before, when either of my kids cry, I go to them. Every time. Even if it's that wimpy little fake cry that Izzy sometimes does because she didn't get it, I still go. My love makes me. And God is love. Imagine how much it makes him come to us when we cry out as a child for him. If you want to get to the kingdom of God, it's as a child. So here's what's cool. Y'all better relax in your chairs because I just took a lot of pressure off you and so did Jesus. All the people walking with the robes and the big educations and all that, the same ones that stopped the children, everybody around them lived their lives feeling not good enough because they weren't Pharisees or Sadducees, right? Now they get to all relax because Jesus just said, guys, listen, this is all way bigger than you and it's not even about you. I took a million steps to get to you. There's one left. Do you want to take that last step? It's that simple, isn't it, Bruce? Good news today, real good news, but I gotta get going. Well, okay, another thing I want to tell you, and I'll fly through these. Another thing about as a child is this. Alex is learning and he's doing a good job. Don't lie. No matter what the cost, don't lie. His first instinct at one point when he did something wrong was to cover it up. I've told you that before. I don't want you to look at the iPad when I'm downloading something I'm not supposed to and all that's right. But the other day he said something. I almost said telling you eyes. he did something he wasn't supposed to do and I just gave him the... And he went, no, me didn't do... Like he told the truth. And I was like, hey, good for you. And actually he got away with it. I wasn't going to punish him for the other thing because he told the truth. He understood that. Here's the thing about children. Children tend to share everything with you. Can I tell you a funny yet on the edge kind of story? They were over for dinner. This is good. I think it's hilarious, but it's also a little dark. She's giving me a dirty look. She's saying, we're all sitting around the table. There was no food on the table. And Alex was like really happy and Izzy was sleeping upstairs. And you see him start doing the potty dance. Y'all know the potty dance. And he's like, oh, and so I think we were doing Snapchat things. We were goofing around, all four of us, right? And he goes, oh, I'll be right back. We'll do more when I'm done pooping. And he runs into the bathroom. Why he chose to yell out the word pooping, I have no idea. But it goes really well with my story. Children share everything of themselves with their parents. Right? Don't they? Even weird little things, like when they're done in the shower, they run around naked and stuff like that. They share everything with their parents. If you want to come to God as a child, you'll just share it all. The good, the bad, the ugly. The pooping, right? The worship, everything. Children share everything they have. And don't we love that as mothers and fathers? I love that. They're too old for shame or a filter, or too young for shame or a filter in it. I just get all his thoughts. All his thoughts. He says to me today, Daddy, he says, we're the first planet closest to the sun, right? And I said, no, Mama knows what the other two are. I don't know. Like with the third. And he goes, well, I love you to Pluto and back. And I was like, oh, that's the first thing he said when he woke up. Just, he felt love. He shared it. That's a child, right? You want to come to God as a child? Don't wait for religious-y things. Just do it. Just share it. Don't wait for the right words. Brendan and I were talking about prayer. Sometimes we feel prayer insecure. Prayer insecure. Father, thou art holy. Thou art wonderful. Dad, I don't know. Rock and roll. Yeehaw. I've prayed prayers like that on the motorcycle. Yeehaw. You share everything with yourself. You come to God as a child, okay? Let me keep rolling. Oh, boy. Let's go to the next slide. I don't know what it is. Surprise me. Oh, yeah, let's do it, because it's heartwarming and I like it. There you go. Right? That's all well and good when it's someone else's kids, but put your kids in that position. That my Savior, he loves, he lives, he's always there for me, but my children have a shot at eternal life. No matter what happens to them, no matter what happens to them, read the shack. Safe in the arms of the Lord Jesus who cares about us. And why? It's about him. He's the All-Father. He's the All-Father. Next one, please. This one is literally looks like a scene out of the shack, doesn't it? Near the waterfall. Hello. I ain't even seen the movie. I'm talking about the... Awesome! And also, is that a golden retriever? Because that'd be awesome too! I have a golden retriever! Keep going. Boys, get me fired up. Him with children. Awesome. That's a beautiful little kid too, isn't it? She does. She has beautiful eyes. Keep going. One more. Children are safe with God. You come to God as a child, you're safe with God. And it's not because of you. It's because he just said that. He promises, right? Jesus said... You want to come to the kingdom, you come as a child and you will be accepted. People are giving thumbs up. I like that. That's good. So do I. Okay, so let's do this. We cannot get to life and life abundantly on our own. Another thing about this is a child receives love. They truly receive it very, very easily. You ever notice that? My son is never shocked when I say I love you. My son, Oprah and Izzy, oh, she's so affectionate. We call her sweet, sweet girl, don't we? Sweet girly. She gives the best hugs and kisses. She does. Children receive affection very easily. And you may not think this is a big point, but it's a very big point. Receive the love that God is trying to give you. Receive it open-armed. Do you know what we do, though? All right, okay, I'll hang out here. But God, I'm not...
I still remember when I, this is what we do. I haven't figured this out. That's what we do, John. We do. We put our hands up and we don't receive the love from the Father. A child goes, pick me up. Absolutely. Kisses, hugs. That's what we love about kids, right? That's what Father loves about us when we choose to do it. I've been telling you a little bit about a pal of mine who, his life has completely turned around in 2-3 months, and he enjoys life, a life that he was willing to give up a couple months ago, and now he enjoys it more than anyone I've ever met. It's the craziest thing. I was complaining. I was like, it's cloudy the other day. He's like, it's awesome. Life, man, life. You know how he prays to God? Life is awesome. That tree is fantastic. He's completely as a child with God. Religion never got in there and said, whoa, stop. No running. Ooh, that's good. Huh? That's what religion did to us, didn't it? Stop. No running. Tie your shoe. Fix your hair. Oh, yes. This is it, isn't it? This is it. This is the thing that's going to break off some people. No. Nope. That wasn't Jesus. That was Pastor so-and-so, Grandma so-and-so, Mom so-and-so, cult person so-and-so. No. Jesus never said stop running. Never said tie your shoe. Never said comb your hair. He said, come to me. Come to me and receive my love. When you're scared, come to me. When you're happy, come to me. When you're babbling like a fool, come to me. Really? You know what some of my favorite times? Oh, I'll tell you. Okay. So Izzy woke up. Izzy's the 2-year-old. I was laying next to her trying to keep her sleeping because neither of my children like to sleep or eat. Life is awesome. And I wouldn't trade it. You know that. But I'm laying next to Izzy and it's like frat hours, like 10 o'clock. She's still sleeping. I hear Alex in the other room. He's got a little Sesame Street microphone. And it's Grover, like, sing your ABCs. That's pretty good, right? I got lots of practice. And he's in his room. Now, both doors are shut, Mike. And in his room, singing into this thing, but he's singing. It woke me up. I don't know what he's singing. Just words. I was like, I go in and I'm so angry because he woke us up. But I'm also like, that's awesome that you're singing a song at the top of your voice, right? Children will share everything. There is no filter. Can I recommend that you do that same thing? I hope the baby's not sleeping because I'm yelling up here, apparently. Sorry, Amy. At least I pulled the microphone back, huh? Wow. Okay. Come to God as a child. If you still think you got to stop running, comb your hair, blah, 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 knock it off. Come to God as a child. Receive his love. It's there. He chose to, guys. It's not about you. That's who he chooses to be in our lives. How far does he separate us from our wrongdoings? He says, as far as the east is from the west. So you can no longer in truth go, but God, all those years that I, but you don't know how the thing I think about, you don't get to do that anymore. It's been separated. You're completely loved and received. Let's keep going. Anyone else ever been tired of trying to be good and try to earn love? Next one. Let me just prove these to you because I got to get to my final point and I love it. Okay. Mute. Can you mute that? I was not ready for that. Here's what I grew up hearing. God helps those who help themselves. Anybody ever heard that? It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Because you know what that makes you do? It makes you do everything you can, bust your butt, try your own efforts, and then when you're finally exhausted, oh, maybe now, Father. That's absolutely not the way a child does it. Amen? Amen. Let me show you the way that God actually talks about. He says, you ask me, you seek, and you knock. Because if you ask, it'll be given to you. You seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. So if you're wondering if you should take that job, you do not do all the blah, blah, blah. You first thing you do is like this. Dad, I tell you what, I was thinking about taking the bike yesterday. And you know what I do? Call me crazy spiritual. I don't care. I absolutely love Father God. I said, should I take the back way or the front way? Okay. No, I didn't feel anything either way. I didn't feel him answer. But what if he wanted to? Do you see what I'm trying to say? Taking the bike to work today or the truck? I took the truck because I just kind of felt like he said, take the truck. Why do we think it's going to be about nuclear explosions and stuff? It's about everything you do. It's about the cereal you eat in the morning. Do I care what my children eat? Yes, of course I do. I care about every facet of their lives. It is not about God helps those who help themselves. No, there are things you're going to have to put your boots on and go to work every day. Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. But you don't go at it alone. You ask, you seek, you knock. You move toward the loving Father. Now I want to do something. I want to completely switch it up because he talked about children other places. Let's hit this next slide and I'm going to expose out of this. Okay. Here you go. Hold on. This is the adoption process. To those who believe in his name, I choose to believe Jesus. You are who you say you are. You died on a cross. You rose again and I can trust you. For those who say that, he gave them the right, the right, not privilege, a right to become children of God. When you get a, when you move into the kingdom, Mike, when you have the citizenship, you're a son of God. It's a new identity. It's a new last name. It's done. Okay? Done. So come to the Lord as a child. But let's look at the next thing. Here's another thing about children, though, that he's going to do. Now, I'm going to spurn this off, but I'm going to talk about biases a little bit. Jesus is encountering backlash. Has anyone ever been in a place where they have really good intentions and they're doing good things, but you still get hated on? Like maybe your workplace, or you're doing something nice for somebody and they're fighting you? Jesus finally comments on that. He says this, "To what then should I compare this generation? The people of the generation. What are they like?" Do you see? He would never ask a double question. This is a setup. What should I compare? What are they like? I'll tell you what they're like, says King Jesus. They're like children sitting in the marketplace calling out to each other. We played the flute for you and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread or drinking wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. Back a slide, please. That's the most offensive thing he could have possibly said. That is wildly offensive, because let me break it down for you. They're like children sitting in the marketplace. Most towns had marketplaces, and that's where everybody went. And when mom and dad had their little shop, the children entertained themselves. You know what they did? There were two main events that took place at the time. There were no concerts. There were no movies. You know what happened? There were weddings and there were funerals. That's it. Okay? So while mommy and daddy are working and buying and selling in the marketplace, and it's crowded and it's chaotic, the kids would all gather together and they would play games. They'd play games like wedding. Or they'd play games like funeral. Understand? And some of them, they'd play the flute. They'd play a wedding song. And some of the kids would, yeah, you know, ever notice it's about kids? A ringleader will emerge, right? And they'll start to play the game, but there's always that one little poop head who's throwing a fit going, I don't want to play that game, right? I want to play this other game, right, guys? Can you get four kids together and all agree all the time? It doesn't happen. So the one kid plays a happy song, and the kid goes, I want to play a sad song, right? So they switch it up. They sing a dirge, which is a funeral song. And they didn't pretend along with that. The crying is the mourning that would, you know, the women would weep and wail. So Jesus is going, oh, okay, next one. Let me make this more serious, he says, because John came singing a dirge. Ooh. John brought you the hard part of the gospel. John brought you repent, change the way you're doing things, understand you can't do it, fall on your knees, repent, and you'll be saved. John brought that. He was very stoic. He didn't drink wine or anything like that. And you know what you said about the dirge that he was singing? You said he has a demon. You didn't accept that one. So we changed the tune. You follow me on this, Bruce? We changed the tune, and I came whirling like a dervish, going to weddings, Mike, eating and drinking. I came as a normal person. Imagine that. Creator God came. And I came sitting with all different people. And you know what you said to that song? You said, I'm not going to dance to that song either. You said, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Which one is it, guys? Says Jesus. Because we played the happy tune, didn't like that. John played the sad tune. Which one is it and what's the problem? Oh, isn't this good? Isn't this good? Now, here's the problem. Ready? I'm going to spend the last couple minutes I've got on this. This is so our world today. This is so our world. People will say, you, as it is, you can't save yourself. You've fallen short of the glory of God. And people go, that's too difficult. I don't want to hear about that. That can't be true. I'm a good person. I don't need anyone. Then you'll tell them, but the free gift is that Jesus died for you and it's all about grace. No, you mean to tell me that if a murderer... So what's the problem? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it the song that Jesus in the Old Testament, in the New Testament singing? It's not the song, is it? It's the fact that unbelief is a stance, posture, filter, choice. Unbelief is a choice. Understand? And when unbelief is the filter you want to see the world through, none of it will matter. There is no right song. Free grace. You don't have to die on a cross or be tortured. Your father will embrace you. Nope, too easy. Okay. You remember when you did this, 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 this? Have you broken any of God's standards? Too hard. Nope. The problem is us, the stance that we're holding on to. Unbelief. Unbelief, just like belief, is a choice. And Jesus is saying this. This is the problem with our world right here. It's not in the songs that are being sung. The gospel is the most harsh, depressing system there is out there, religion. Do you understand that? Even, come on, Daniels. Even Freud said, people are crap. But Freud never said, I'm crap too. Do you follow what I'm saying? Other systems, I mean, all of them, they'll say, oh, people are terrible. But they never say all people are terrible. We're the most pessimistic system there is. Because we declare that all people need saving. But we're the most optimistic system there is too. You don't have to earn it. It's not about you. Isn't that crazy? And yet, we are a staggering minority sitting in this room and watching online. How can that be? And people will say it's the tune you're singing. Guys, you can't say that Jesus is the only way. You have to include other people. You can't say that what he says is true, right, and best is true, right, and best. You can't say that what is actually called sin by God is sin. You can't do that. We don't like that tune. And then they'll also say, well, you're loving everybody? You can't love everybody. Is it the tune? It's not the tune, is it? It's good, right? He is so smart, isn't he? He is so smart. So let me do this thing. Jesus goes on saying this, guys. Oh, I'll tell you this, too. After this, I didn't include it. The next thing he says is, he goes, woe to you for this, because cities like Sodom and Gomorrah and this city and this city and this city that were judged by God, if they'd seen the things you'd seen, they'd be dancing. They would believe and follow. But you saw all this stuff, and you continued to say, I don't like this tune, I don't like that tune, because it's not my tune. And there's the problem. Right? These guys wanted it their way. It's true. And today we do the same thing. I want a Jesus who, and stop right there. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. He is who he is, right? He is who he is, and it's wonderful, amazing news. But so many people get caught up on the fact that it's not their creation. It's not their way. Like a child, put that down and say, okay, daddy. That makes for a good day when I've got the kids. Can I tell you that? For all of us, when they just say, okay, daddy, I trust that you know what's best. I'll put the jacket on, even though I don't really want the jacket. I'll do that. We don't have to fight about it. Oh, and wow, it was cold outside. I would have been cold without that. Right? The thing about a child is a child will willingly fall into and trust their father, no matter which tune is playing. We got to let go of this unbelief, which is rooted in this arrogance and pride that says, I want to be the one who plays the tune. It's got to be on my terms. And guys, if you asked me why most of the world does not follow the Lord Jesus, I would say that's why. I truly would say that's why. So let's close it down. I love this teaching today. I do. Coming to God as a child. I hope it broke some stuff off you. God said, come to me now as you are. Don't clean yourself up first. And don't hold back. If you're weird, be weird. If you're crazy, be crazy. God knows I'm weird and crazy. And I love sharing it with him. I do. I don't try to be anything else. Gordon. I think Gordon's saying, I know you're weird and crazy. No. And then the other thing, guys, is be careful of this in your life. Be careful of it. And honestly, if there's folks in your life that you're really praying for and you're wondering, you know, what's going on and you're hoping that they would come to the Lord Jesus, understand this. It's not the tune that's being sung. Okay. Yep. All right. Fine. Okay. So in other words, you've been worrying about the tune you're singing to the people who choose not to believe in your life. Listen to me. It's not the issue. It's not the tune you're singing. It's the heart posture they're choosing to take. So guess what? Take that whatever job description you think you have and just rest. Because God has a one-on-one communication going on with them too. Your job, stand to the side of this whole thing and just pray for them. Father, help them to feel your love. It's not the tune. I know. It's something in their hearts that's keeping them hanging on to something. And if you ever notice, unbelief often comes with anger.
does, doesn't it? It really does.
So here's your job. You don't have one. Step back, enjoy the love of the Father, and continue to bask in it. Can I tell you something? Someone who truly comes to God as a child has gravity, much like that celebrity. This is where I'll close it down, right? Somebody who loves God in their lives, it's so contagious. It is. It's so, they've got something I don't have. What is that? And can I tell you something? Over time, love wins. You understand? Amen. Love wins. All right. So this week, guys, let it go. Rejoice in the Lord. Absolutely. And come to God as a child. Let's sing a tune.